I'm officially recording. Before I even start, I haven't started yet. I'll tell you when I get started. All right, let's take a deep breath here. It's getting nervous now. We're starting.
It's so stupid.
All right, so my name is George Javel. I own a company called Black Sheep Media House, and a friend of mine decided, recently that I should start a podcast. Seems like a lot of people in the small town that we live in, State College, PA, seem to come to me and ask me how I started my business, why, and they want knowledge. They want to understand why you would start a video production business in a small town, and when they see it from the outside, they see, wow, this person's doing it. And I want to do what they're doing. So that's how the idea came about. And I just figured I'd start a podcast where we talk about just what the business that we're in is and why we do it and how to help someone else along the way by talking to different people who are doing it, who are really in the world. And so I don't exactly know what the podcast name is. It's Black Sheep. But, you know, if you have any ideas when you hear this and you think there's a cool idea, I thought Black Sheep, the bottom line, would work. But if anyone thinks that, it should be something else, my wife mentioned possibly doing, let me buy you a coffee or something like that. It seems like everybody's always like, hey, can I have a coffee with you? So anyway, without further ado, this is the podcast. This is it. And starting with my buddy, one of my really good friends in State College, Kenneth Grau.
Hi.
How's it going,
Ken? It's going good, man. This is going to be fun.
This is going to be fun. And this is the first one, so we're just kind of, getting our feet wet.
One thing I've noticed and why I think this is a good thing to do is that everyone you ever talk to who hasn't done it asks you the same questions and wants to know how you got to where you are. Or even me, having only been running my own business for a year now, is starting to ask me those same questions. We're like, how did you get started? How do you get your first jobs? Where do you find work? And I think this will be a good resource for a lot of people who are just starting out and trying to figure out how they can start their own thing, whether it's video production or not. I think this will be a good resource.
And I think it's great because I never think about it like that. I think that as we start to move forward in any business or anything that we do, people see and start to notice that you're doing something different. You're doing something that's working. And so they become very interested and they're like, what is that person doing? I want to do that. So then they reach out to you. And I noticed that more and more over the last 5 years, people gravitating and saying, hey, can I get you a coffee? I just want to talk. I'm starting a business, whether it's photography, producing video, whether it's designing graphics. They see that I've done a lot of that kind of stuff, and so they decide that they want to just ask questions. And it's so funny how often it happens. And I don't realize because I'm so involved in that world, that I guess I'm doing something right and you're doing something right, because you're physically like you made a decision, almost a year and a half ago to start your business and it's taken a lot of work and here you are doing it. So, it's cool just to see, from my perspective, seeing you and then also understanding and looking back like, holy crap, I had this idea years ago to have my own business because, I wanted to be free. I wanted to do whatever I wanted on a daily basis, have my own time. And that was my goal, just to be free to do whatever I wanted. It was not to crush everybody in town. And I had no idea there were other businesses in town that were doing this. I didn't know if other production companies were going to be upset that I was starting something. But what I did know is that any commercial that I saw locally had horrible quality.
So true. I thought the same thing when I started. I'm like, I could do that. I could do that and way better. That's funny. You had the same idea. But like talking about, people asking these questions, they see you. I know you don't feel like you're on top of a mountain, but when they see someone like 7 years, you've done it 8 years.
Yeah, it's been, I started.
On your own?
Officially doing my own business in 2013.
Yeah, so 7 years. So somebody like me, when we met at Rothrock Coffee a year ago, and you were like, I don't know, man, just do it, essentially is the gist of that whole conversation. For me, I'm looking at the giant mountain as this impossible thing to climb because it does seem an insurmountable thing. But you mentioning that you don't even realize that it seems so hard anymore because you've already gone way up and you're just used to the climb at this point. You're just going and going and taking on bigger and bigger in projects, and you've just become used to that. And you get good at that. When you get good at one thing, you kind of learn what it takes to continue to grow something. So for you, you already know how to do that. Someone who's just getting out of school or maybe just taken on their first video production job at the newspaper, you guys are going to view the world completely differently. So having someone like you as a resource to bounce ideas off of, like maybe I can come to you and say I'm struggling with something, then that is invaluable as a resource to have someone who's been doing it for so long.
And you know, the funny thing about that is that I learned skills from another person. I came from the BMX world, and for me, this transition into doing what I do now was almost, I didn't even notice it. I was riding BMX professionally at one point, or trying to at least. And the next point, I was just going back to school for graphic design, and I was just starting to get small jobs here and there. I worked at WPSU for a few years it was like a paid school. Like I went there and I learned how to work with huge teams and under a lot of pressure. We had weekly shows for men's and women's basketball. We had weekly shows for football. And at one point they all transitioned with each other. And so for me, it was good to see that aspect of it. And then, the thing about, you know, the one thing that most people, like you mentioned before, they see someone do it and they go, I can do that. But what they don't realize is the amount of times that you crash and burn to get to a certain point. And those are the things that as a business owner now, you've experienced a lot of those times, you know, where you're like, you know, hey, I'm starting my own business. Here we go. Yes. Got the camera gear, got this gear. And then you're like, well,
shit.
Yeah.
Where's the work?
Yeah. Where's the work? You know? Okay. Now who do I talk to?
Right.
And that's the downside. That's what most people think. They buy all this gear. They're going to get a bunch of work, right? Oh, everybody's going to call me now because I'm so good. I got the best gear in town. They don't realize that there's a lot of networking that goes along with it. There's a lot of marketing that goes along with it. So if you're investing thousands of dollars on camera gear, you got yourself a studio or something, you have to also think that you have to invest some time and effort into marketing.
Because people that you have all this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Because nobody's going to hire you. They're not going to know you exist. So I think that's one of the hardest things for people to find out. They get this, they're starting a business, they do all this stuff, and then what? You know, and the video production business is not like you're selling a cup of coffee. You're not selling, you know, if you start a coffee shop, chances are you're going to do okay. A lot of people are going to come in there, especially these days where coffee shops have become offices. You're going to have clientele. Video production, at times, you are charging a company what someone makes in 1 year for one job. And it's hard to convince people that you're good enough to do it, you know? And then It's hard to convince yourself, you know, because people don't realize sometimes that you're out there doing this and inside you're screaming to the top of your lungs. Mm-hmm. But on the outside, you're looking as calm as possible. And they think, wow, that person has it going on. They know how to do it. Every single job is completely new. There have been some experiences, you know, that you can say, I've done this before, I got this. But most of the time, each job in this world, in the creative world, is different.
And you're just hoping it works out.
You're hoping it works out. You have these great ideas, and now your time is to deliver to the client, you know. So this is what the idea for this podcast is to tell, you know, these stories every single time. Anytime, whether it's with us together or somebody else that we bring in, and just kind of give us their experience. So I'm going to ask you, you know, it's been 1 year. What's been your experience in building a business, and where are you planning on going? Like what's your goal?
My goal is to make the same amount of money that I would make working my ass off at a regular job working way less and maybe make that same amount of money and re-enjoying life. Because when I worked in video production before doing my own thing, I worked in sports. I worked first at WPSU just after you left. I think we missed each other by a year. That was my internship. I moved to Florida and kind of snuck my way into working with the Tampa Bay Lightning, worked there for a few years, and then back at WPSU as a producer. And in that whole time, I put in more hours than even seems possible. You know, I always tell people full-time hours is 2,000 hours a year. I was working 2,400, 2,500 hours a year every year. And I was pretty much burnt out. And the reason I decided to do my own thing is because I got tired of not seeing my family in video production and got tired of missing weddings, missing vacations, missing Christmases, like missing so many things just to work in a field that I enjoy because I thought that's what I had to do. But I realized somewhere along the line, I don't have to make $150,000, $250,000 a year to be happy. I can make $50,000 a year and work a couple times a year, a dozen times, 20 times. I think I did 40 invoices this year. So I worked on 40 projects this year, plus some stuff on Upwork that I didn't keep track of with invoices. And I've been way happier this year than I have in the last 8 years since I started this whole journey. So for me in the last year, I've learned a lot. A lot of it's like, oh, where's the clients? It's hard. It was a rude awakening for me when I realized I've been here. I moved back to State College for 3 years. I don't know a whole lot of people in town. When I look at your journey, you kind of started off, you had a big network from your past life of doing flippy doos, riding mm-hmm. your bike around. You have a lot he more contacts. BMX. BMX, yes. And that comparing that to my kind of network, my network's a lot smaller just by the way I've moved around so much.
We've got the phone calling. It must be a job.
You know what? We call that amateur hour.
Amateur hour. I thought I silenced my phone.
They leave their phones on in the middle of productions, and it goes off, and this is the kind of stuff you have to work with, people.
That's okay. That's why this is the first one, and, you know, we're just getting
getting
established. If we had an audio tag right now, he would be yelling at us saying, I thought I told everyone here to silence their phones.
We're going to get our tech on here at some point.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I can't wait to have an audio tech, and I know exactly who.
But, yeah, the biggest thing for me has been realizing I start off with a much smaller network, but that's been okay because, obviously, you've been a ginormous help. I've pulled together some of my own projects. It's a slow start for the first year. I've found a bunch of work online. I probably made a quarter of my salary online that just comes to you. I don't know. It's weird. Upwork.com. Go check it out. But work will just kind of come in. So I think honestly, my goal for next year is maybe to have 20% more volume in work. And I would be completely happy with that. We wouldn't be struggling to get by. We'll be more than comfortable. We'll be saving money. We'll be in a good spot. And if cool projects come along, yeah, I can take them. But at that point, I don't want to have to work on every little thing that I hate. And I think the goal is creators and video production. At some point, you have to take every little project that comes along. But down the road, you want to be able to just work on stuff you enjoy. And I think you're getting pretty close to that point where you can be more selective with your projects. Where someone like me, and they're like, hey, I need a slideshow edited of my 7-year-old first day at school. I have to do that project because that's money.
And it's great that you hit on that subject of you have to take everything that you get at the beginning and then you get to a point where you, you know, and it's hard for people to say, I can say no now. You know, I can say no, I don't want to do that job. Mm-hmm. That's always been my goal as well. Real quick, I'll interrupt you, is that when I first started, I just wanted to make this work. So I would take anything, mm-hmm. anything that came my way. It didn't matter what it paid. I didn't know, you know, and each one of these jobs helped me buy an equipment. And so the first few years I was broke, you know, I was getting all these jobs, but I was broke because I was using that money to pay for equipment. And then whatever was left over was to pay for, you know, whatever for me and my family and rent and expenses and everyday life. So it wasn't, it's not like somebody just threw me a bunch of work and all of a sudden I was, you know, I was set. Oh, right. look at this person. They're making it. It wasn't like that at all. But throughout the whole thing, my main goal was that I want to get to a point where I can say no. And I'm very proud this year that I've been able to turn certain jobs down. Because I have some really good clients that I love working with that allow me to be creative and think outside the box. And that is my goal, just to be able to work for companies and businesses that allow me to go out there and just tell them a crazy idea. And they go, wow, I like that.
Do it.
Can you make it happen?
Right.
You know, and so each person's goal is different. Like your goal is to be able to, I know that we talked before, like, you know, your goal has been to be able to make decent money without stressing yourself out. I remember when I talked to you, you were like, you know, you hit a wall. And I remember being there because I hit a wall there too. Mm-hmm. There were times where like my brain was, you know, was mush, and I don't ever want to live like that again. And that's what people do when they do this kind of work. They just take on so much work that they forget why they started in the first place.
Yeah, there's only so many times you could be micromanaged and have your work nitpicked and torn apart by a bunch of different people before you're just like, well, what the hell do I even do this for? The creativity gets taken and the fun gets taken out of video production. And a lot of times people working for, like obviously you and I worked in sports, you've got a very specific brand and style that you have to adhere to. And there's not a whole lot of creativity and ability to branch out from there. Or if you do try to, it might be awesome, but maybe that's not in line with their vision, or they're not comfortable pushing these new boundaries or going in a new direction. So as someone, I don't even call myself a creative. I just like to make cool stuff. I don't necessarily come up with sweet stuff all the time, but when you do and you take new chances as somebody who, I mean, we're artists. I hate saying it, but we kind of are.
Oh, you're right.
It's a weird thing to say for me because I'm like, I play on a computer and like, I don't feel like I'm making art traditionally. But when you are going out on a limb and trying something new and it gets shut down, and then you try something else and it gets shot down, you only have so many rejections you can take before you're just like, well, what am I doing this for? And that was one of the major things that got me to want to work with you. I mean, I work with you and you're just like, yeah, do it. Ken, if you can't do it, you're fired or whatever you say. And you kind of just let me wing it. And it takes some time for people to have trust in you like that, especially starting out and starting all over again with your own business like I've done. But it's been, I've been a lot happier with the creative process working outside of a regular job. Like if you work for State Farm, everything is going to be red. Everything has to be red. You don't get to do anything. And if you're there for 10 years, you're going to burn out and you're going to hate your life. And you get to work on something new every day. I get to work on something new every day. A month ago, I was editing some kids' flag football videos. A month from now, we might be working for a giant company. Who knows?
Yeah, and that's a great thing too. And that's what I love about this is, depends on the job. Like we've been able to work on some really cool jobs. We were in New York last year, high-fiving each other, working for, you know, one of the biggest brands in the world, Adidas, you know. And the next day, we're in State College, Pennsylvania, doing a video for Salon, you know. So it's great because you also, the great thing about this is that once you start to make it, you start to get these opportunities. It's like a little vacation, mini vacation. You're working, you're getting paid, but we're both working together. We had great dinners every single night. We went out to get sushi and expensive drinks and live life in New York City. And then you're back to doing it again locally. Maybe you don't have the big grand, you know, experience, but it's still fun and enjoyable. And so that's something I love about this, because sometimes, like you said, you're editing flag football for someone never met.
Right.
Which is, you know, people.
I'm like, into it.
That's the thing. Like, people need these services.
Right.
That's a niche that maybe not someone else might want to do, you know, but you're doing it. You're You don't even have to leave your house.
I know. It's amazing.
You know? And then next thing you know, you're being hired for another job where you do have to go work for a week straight somewhere else and hold a camera and be more on the artistic side and just kind of let your body and your natural abilities of being a videographer or a, you know, cinematographer.
I'll never call myself that in a million years.
The funny thing about those things is, like, I don't call myself those things until the client, you know, or an agency that has hired me has my name on there. And next to it says DP, cinematographer, whatever the name they want to give me for that specific job.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I'm just a guy that learned a bunch of different skills. And when I get an opportunity to go experience something cool, I go for it, you know? So, so that's really cool that I feel like you, you know, I've watched you evolve in the last year. And the greatest thing about you that I like for me is that I can always count on you. You know, there hasn't been any time where I'm like, come on, Ken. As a matter of fact, many times you're like, hey, so where's the feedback on that video? You know, what's
up your ass?
Yeah, you're up my ass, which is something I feel like you need to be accountable when you have a client depending on you. And a lot of times, like, that's the game that we play with the client. We film something, we then edit. We send them a sample.
And then 3 weeks later.
We wait for a few weeks or a day or two. And then they're like, can you change this and this and this and this and this? And they want it done by tomorrow, you know?
Right.
So it's something to understanding how to manage. And that's something we'll talk about as the weeks go by. I feel like managing, project managing is something that both of us have learned. I understand how you work. You understand how I work. You know, we've been together doing production schedules, big production schedules. The night before, you know that my limited skill is that I can barely type or spell, you know, and that's something you can go on a computer and just, you know, you get on a computer and just like, what do you need me to write here? You know, for me, it's right. Like, I really have to think hard when I am writing and typing, but when it comes to visualizing something, I can visualize what the video is going to look from beginning to end. Before we ever start filming it. And that's my talent. So
as
I've learned,
work well together.
And that's why we work well together. And the great thing is,
I don't have the vision.
It took me years to hone in on what my specific talent is because you, as a business owner, I've spent this week doing W-9s and 1099s, sending emails out. Hey, can you fill out this W-9? Hey, can you fill out this W? You know, and then last year I hired a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, so
I think I hired like 6 or 7. You must have hired 70.
Yeah. So it's wild because you're like, even now, you know, 7-8 years into a business on my end this year, I am learning how to any new subcontract that comes in or vendor, making sure that they fill out a W-9 right from the beginning before we ever use them. Here you go. Please fill this out so that we have it in on file. And then next year, I don't have to email anyone to do those things. So these are little things that you learn
right.
as you move forward. Because when I started my business, I was not a business person.
That's part of that thing you're climbing. It's part of the mountain.
Yeah, it's part of that mountain, you know?
You've got the skills to do it all.
Yeah.
Now you've got to learn how to get everything in line so that it's not a nightmare every single tax season and you're not losing your mind. You know what I mean?
Yep. And another thing, too, is like, you know, I don't know about yourself, but my goal is not to be this big, famous filmmaker, cinematographer, at all. My goal is to enjoy my life, to go on a nice vacation when I want to travel for work when the opportunity comes in, and then just to have a consistency of workflow that helps me make a living and helps those closest to me make a living. Because I spoke to you before, like, you're always going to be my guy. We've got, you know, Cody, Guardy, and a few other guys that, you know, I like to work with, I enjoy working with, and that is my circle. Mm-hmm. And it's a big circle of trust that I have, you know, built and developed, you know, alongside with you. We had conversations over the last few years, and I feel like for us, that's the win, you know. It's being able to, as one person's business starts to grow bigger, help the other business out. And that's
helps
what
everybody
we,
out.
Yeah. And it helps, you know, and then we all learn together. You know, we don't call ourselves fancy names. You know, we just like, Like, we're just trying to provide a really good service for the people that we provide the services for. And I think they love it, you know, and they love us. I feel like most of my clients say, you're not somebody I'm hiring. You're family. And when you hear that,
yeah, you know, you're doing something right.
You know, you're doing something right because I'm not lying to them.
We don't come in like going on back to the fancy names thing.
Yeah.
We don't come in like we're kings of the universe. Like, oh, bring me my snack table. Yeah. Like, we're just like, okay, what do you need today?
Yeah.
And every one of us that you work with can all go set up the camera. We can set up the lights. Everyone can set up the microphone and audio. Like, mm-hmm. there's not, like, we just go do the work.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, oh, that's not my job. I don't touch that. It's just, we are of the mindset that it has to get done. So you do it.
Yeah.
And it's weird, but there are people who will say, no, I'm not the sound guy. Go get the sound guy.
Yeah.
We'll be like, why can't you just get the sound back? Like, no, that's the sound guy's job.
Yeah.
And I get, like, at some point, that's how it has to be.
Mm-hmm.
Your job as a camera operator is so important that you don't have time to think about the audio.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're working in smaller crews like we do, sometimes you just have to be the guy who's putting the gaff tape down on the wires. Like,
oh, yeah.
Because someone else is setting up the lights.
Yep.
And you might still be working for a decent sized project, but you can't hire 10 people.
No.
You know what I mean? You can't hire 3 extra assistants and 2 gaffers, and you just can't do it. So I think when big companies see us working with the mindset of 5 hustlers that all go into a thing and all do the hard work and go into a project, I think that means a lot to those kind of companies.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like that's something that also, the educating a client, you know, when they hire you, they don't know what they're getting. What am I getting for your estimate, you know? And when you start to see, you know, most people just see the end kind of work. Wow, that looks really cool. They don't realize what it took to get that. Why does that audio sound so much better
right.
than the other person I hired? Why does the video look so much cleaner? It looks like a movie, you know?
Right.
And so every single one of those little things takes somebody really being super passionate about their job. I'm passionate about gaffing stuff, you know, like
it I doesn't, know, I'm like, I don't want any wrinkles in the tape.
Yeah. It's just funny, you know, and audio, like I'll even make sure we're both always looking at the audio. Go like, did you hear that? And he's like, oh yeah, yeah, I heard it. You know, like,
yeah, we're like, on top of the sound.
We're on top of the sound guy because the sound guy, you know, he may or may not be paying attention because he's a human being.
Right.
So those are things that I feel like, you know, as it like the little pieces and things as you start to build this kind of business that you want to provide. It's like, if I go to the store and I want to buy a really nice car, I'm hoping that the people who built that vehicle knew what the hell they were doing.
Right.
You know, and it wasn't just like, we just want to charge somebody as much money as possible and whatever. If it breaks down halfway through, we're not going to be there.
It's not our problem.
No.
Right.
And that's the great thing about, I think, us, the way we work is every job, I've had calls before where somebody's like, you know, even weeks after, like, hey, video's great, but, you know, can we remove this? Gladly. I'll right. gladly do that. Unless it's going to be new work that's going to take a lot of time and you have to invest time and effort and pay someone to do, then yeah, absolutely, you know. So I think it's great. It's been a learning process getting to this point for me. It's been a learning process getting to that point for you. And even yeah. people that we'll be bringing in as the week kind of go on, and each episode that starts to come out will be people that are doing their own thing, you know? So it's always exciting to just kind of find out, like, you never realize what you're bringing to the table until you start talking about it.
Yeah.
Because we're so busy doing the work.
It's true. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about all, you know, basically customer satisfaction. And I'm lucky that I was in sales for 9 years before I started any of this, before I even went back to school. So I think I kind of work as a customer first mindset, which you do too, but you see the project and the big picture. And when I work with somebody, I'm like, okay, they need to understand this, this, and this.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to learn from you how to pitch the big vision better. So there's just, when you talk about things that people are bringing to the table, it's just interesting that my background leads me more to educating the customer. Are they happy after the fact? Which you do anyways. And just a lot of things that you kind of pick up in dealing with people every day for 9 years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think for me, the life lessons that got me to being is, you know, I think we both have a good quality of, we can talk. We're great at talking, having a conversation with anyone, you know, I'm always like, my wife always cracks me up, because she's like, we'll get on a plane and I'll be best friends with the person that was next to me on the plane. And she's always like kind of slapping her forehead going like, here we go again.
This has been like a phone call for me.
Yeah. It's been like that. Yeah. So I'm constantly like, I love to talk to people. I love to learn their story for no reason whatsoever, other than I'm just interested in humanity and what people's stories are. Everybody has a different cool story. So I would say that, you know, when I was younger and I was trying to be a professional BMXer, I had to get odd jobs. Mm-hmm. And it seems like each odd job I became something like a manager or supervisor. And at one point I even owned a construction company. And I owned a construction company in the Bronx, New York. And it was tough because you're going into people's homes. You're going into low-income inner-city houses where they're already upset because their window has a crack on it, or the ceiling just collapsed and they're upset. You're not the business owner. You're not the building owner. You know, you're just there to help fix the issue.
And you're the one getting yelled at
too. And you're the one getting yelled at. So many times by the end of that experience, the person was making me coffee. Oh man, you were so sweet. Thank you so much. So it was because I understood that this person was upset, you know,
not at you,
not at me, because I don't own this building. I'm just there to fix it for them.
Right.
They're upset at someone, and they, you know, and in the simple conversation, asking them like, you know, questions and understanding why they were so upset, and just having a normal human being conversation and saying, you know, ma'am, sir, I'm going to do my best to fix this. I am not the building owner. I'm just working here trying to get the job fixed,
right,
so that you're able to continue on with your day. And when you walk into your apartment, you are happy. So things like that help me understand how human beings kind of think,
yeah,
and work. And I think that's a great thing now doing this business, because it's a clean business. You're not tearing apartments down. You're not, you know, taking trash out and having to deal with people who are, you know, hard to have a conversation with. You're dealing with other business owners who just want to have a really good version of what their story is for their business.
Yeah.
And you are there to make that happen. And if you learn to explain that in the right way and then deliver the goods.
Yeah.
Which is the next part. You know, like, I can make you the most amazing video ever.
Well, now you got
to
deliver.
And now you have to deliver, you know, and how do you deliver, you know? So it's coming up, really working hard. I don't know about you, but anytime I have any new project for anybody, I do research. I look out what other brands, like this brand, what are they doing? What's different?
Yeah, I watch, and then I'll usually ask them too.
Yeah.
Like, what have you seen?
Yeah, what have you seen? Show me some stuff. Yeah. Show me some stuff that you have seen that you like.
Yeah.
And then I look at that and I try to blow it out of the water. Like, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
That's some good work. And then when they see your work, they're like, wow, you know?
Right.
So, and then that's marketing right there, because the moment you do a great job, then they'll go ahead and sell you to another business owner that they know. So those are little tidbits of kind of, you know,
yeah,
owning your own business as a video production, graphic designer, as a, you know, producer of visuals, I guess, whatever people want to name it, give it a name, you know, ultimately, but we're both depend, you know, you say I'm in the mountain and you're climbing the mountain.
And you don't even feel like it, right?
I don't feel like it, exactly, because I'm constantly working harder to be better and better and better, yeah, and better. And I do see that at this point, I do have an advantage to a business that's just starting out, because I do, I have worked really hard to kind of make a name for the brand that I created years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I, at the same time, I still don't, I never go like, I'm the best, you know, I'm this. I'm like, there's going to be a 18-year-old kid that's going to be 100 times smarter, better at this. And
that's something I used to tell everybody. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. To tell everybody when I was working at the Lightning or WPSU. I learned really quickly, especially at the Lightning, because it's just hyper competitive to work for the NHL.
Yeah.
People just want that on their resume, so they'll work there for $4 an hour. They don't even care. So it's insanely competitive, let alone for a full-time spot. I used to tell people all the time that no matter where you go in video production, especially if it's sports, that there's some kid who's 4 years younger than you, who's probably better than you, and who's going to work four times as hard as you. So you can never let your guard down in production. And that goes for running your own business. You never know when some superstar comes out of college and is like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to start doing it around here. And is he's got money for a red somehow. And now all of a sudden you're like caught with your pants down. Mm-hmm. You just always have to be ready for that next up and comer to come and try and take your belt from you. Cause it can happen quick before you even know it.
And I the funny thing is I used to never think that that's how people thought.
Oh yeah.
Because I'm so busy just doing my work. I'm just busy doing what I do every single day. And thankfully, if it wasn't for certain people that I know in my life that are always like watching out for me, I wouldn't realize that's what's going on, you know? That somebody else is trying to get these jobs that you have,
right? Or that they start creeping up.
Yeah. And so,
oh, hey.
Yeah. So for me, I'm just always like, no way. No. And then my eyes get, you know, open up a little bit and I realize, wow, you know, that's how it is. It's such a small market, especially when you live in a smaller town. It's a small market, you
people
know,
get desperate for work.
You have to, because you have to make a living. Like, you have to feed your family. And if this is what you started as a business and you're not making a living, you're going to have to go drive Uber,
right?
You know, you're going to have to go collect cans and
go yard sailing.
Although I love something that. Like
disclaimer,
that.
I love yard sailing.
You know, and another thing to add, like, you know how I am. Although this is my main business, I like to invest in random things. You know, yeah, I'm like, hey, I just bought this and, you know, sold it for that. And I'm always like, how can I invest money that I'm making and not just let it sit in a bank account until I decide to buy something stupid? You know, how can you invest that and make your money work for you?
And then buy something stupid.
But it's something you learn every single year. You learn too, because I didn't grow up. My parents didn't teach me anything about finances. They, you know, I had horrible credit. Right out of high school, I got a credit card, ruined my credit completely. And then I spent the last few years when I started my business, realized, wow, my credit is bad.
Right.
You know, I had hospital bills from the BMX days with no insurance. Had to one by one go pay, you know, like, you know, $3,000, $2,000, you know, from broken bones and dislocated shoulders and this and that and the other.
So you finally dug out of the hole.
Yeah, it takes you forever. And now my credit is amazing. And I'm very proud of it because, you know, I've put so much time and effort into making sure that my credit grew. So even that aspect of it, like not just like, oh, I do visual stuff, you know, like every little piece. As a person, you know, we're all constantly growing, and it's one of those things. Continue to grow. I feel like transparency has always helped me kind of separate it, you know, what I do from others. And I'm not sure if that works for you, but transparency is always for me. I'm not going to walk in and say that I'm the baddest ass, you know.
Oh yeah. I tell people all the time, somebody just emailed me today and asked if I shoot a certain kind of video. And I said, well, I haven't yet, but we can figure it out. Let's talk and see exactly what you need.
Yep.
I won't necessarily say, oh, I can't do it. Yep. I know someone who can. Yeah. I'll say, let's talk. And then maybe it's something where we can figure it out together.
Uh-huh.
I think it's really super important to be honest when you can't do something.
Yeah.
Because the last thing you want to do is take on a project and you can't handle it. And not only are you stressed and it's a nightmare, you're going to deliver something horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And
then we'll get a call.
Your reputation. Hello.
We'll get a call.
Take the projects. Take it.
Yeah.
yeah. And then now your reputation's shot because over, you know, $1,000 on a project because they wanted something shot that you just couldn't deliver on.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's important to be honest with yourself and honest with the clients and with that kind of stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I like it. Yeah, I think it's great. I think for our first podcast, this has been hopefully something that people want to listen to. If you hear it, if you have time to hear this podcast, it's about 39 minutes long so far. Give us feedback. Let us know what you want to hear. You know, I've got a lot of experience. I've got a few years on me. Ken also, not only as a business owner, but like he was in sales. He's been a producer at, you know, for sports, for football, for basketball shows, and he knows a lot about producing, you know, high quality, and not only that, it's stressful work where you're sending people out to film multiple projects, and as a producer, many times you're the last guy in the editing suite the night all before the slapping this whole thing together, and it's stressful. And I've been there before. At one point, I when I worked for WPSU years ago, what I did was, I was a videographer, I was a graphic designer, I was an editor. So I had my hands in each one, and as a graphic designer, the last day I was changing names, you know, lower thirds, and I was creating new intro graphics, and it was like, hey, the show's going out in like 2 hours, let's go.
And now there's 10 mistakes, and they're all your fault, by mm-hmm. the way.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So we've learned a lot over our years, you know, about this world, and we're still learning. I mean, I learn all the time. I'm part of a networking group now in State College of different business owners. And it makes me feel like I'm adulting in a way.
Right.
And it's nice to learn about what, you know, the lawyer does, the real estate agent, you know, and I realize like, wow, these people are all doing the same thing that we're doing. And this whole time, like, you know, we're doing it by, you know, holding on to dear life.
Right.
You know, you learn by doing these things. You learn, you know, start your business. You know, LLC, what is an LLC? You go online, you file one. You know, S-Corp, what is an S-Corp?
Oh,
you know?
Man, that took me forever to figure out.
Yeah, yeah.
You're just winging it the whole time, and you're just praying that the government doesn't come find
you. Yeah, because you have no idea. And then finally getting, you know, a CPA to help you do all the stuff, which I did a few years back, and now I don't have to worry
and
about
that's
that
$500.
And that's expensive, mm-hmm. you know, and then you have to account for that every year. You're going to make sure. But you know what? That's one thing that that is taken away from your plate. But, hey, I'm going to have to cut us off right here because we've gone over time. Go ahead.
Before you do that,
yeah,
you asked for feedback. We're going to get you Instagram, email.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this will be, you know, email George@Black Sheep Media House. Instagram is Black Sheep Media House, you know. Twitter, don't really mess around with Twitter too much. But even, you know, this will be posted on any one of those. Even Facebook. Facebook is at Black Sheep Media House. So any one of these that you see, if you see a link and you happen to listen to this podcast, go ahead and leave some feedback and just kind of let us know what you'd like to hear about. You know, as a business owner in this world, in the creative world, whether it's graphic design, marketing, video production, it all kind of ties together. And it's something we constantly do. We do on a daily basis. We have a networking group of people who do it as well. Some are strong at some things, you know, than others. And so, again, thanks again for listening. Hopefully you got a little, you know, bit of something from it. And thanks again, Ken, for being the first, you know, the first guy in there.
The first victim.
Yeah, the first victim. And Ken and I are good friends. So as a matter of fact, we're sipping on, what are we sipping on right now?
I don't want to say, it's cheap.
Yeah, some cheap.
Evan Williams whiskey.
Cheap whiskey, midday through the day.
It's supposed to be with Coca-Cola.
And that's the great thing about being a business owner is that you're able to do that kind of stuff.
Day drinking, ha!
A little bit of day drinking while you talk about what you do for a living. So thanks again. Like I said, Black Sheep Media House. This podcast is called Black Sheep. And so far the tagline is the bottom line. So hopefully that's a cool bottom line of the bottom line.
We'll talk about that afterwards.
Okay. We're going to have a conversation. Thanks again. Have a great day.